Yeah, but we have more song sheet, Nathan. Nathan has some song sheets. So raise your hand if you need one and Nate will come around and give you one. Okay, so does everyone have a song sheet? Number four, are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily about the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The bridegroom cometh, your robes be white. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion of Christ and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, I, the garments that are stained with sin, have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul of you. Oh, we wash in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then up on right above there, number three, Jesus, name above all names. Every one of you here today on this special occasion. It's good to see all these
friends and family members here to be part of this special occasion as these candidates who are going to be baptized are going to publicly declare their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and identify with the Lord Jesus in baptism. Can everybody hear me? Okay. So to the ones that are going to be baptized today will be Henry Bilski, Aiden G. Nini, Zoe Hartle, Ariel Luzo, Avery McKendrick, Tracy Spurl, Victoria Solanke, and Sebastian Solanke. And it's been my pleasure to meet with these individuals. We had a class last Sunday on baptism, and it was just a privilege to be able to discuss with them the importance of baptism. It's just so neat to see young believers who want to take this step in obedience to the Lord, and it just warms your heart just to hear their testimony. I had an opportunity to read their testimonies. They'll be sharing those with you today, how the Lord had come into their life and how they had made that commitment to him. We had discussed together the importance of baptism and that the Lord Jesus had laid out two ordinances in the scriptures. We have one, the Lord's Supper, which is recorded in Luke 22, verses 14 to 20, which is something that we observe on a weekly basis. And the Lord had asked us to do this when we read in Luke, where he was with the disciples on the night before he was betrayed. After he took bread, he says, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this is something that we do on a regular basis, and our candidates who are baptized today will probably be participating in our Lord's Supper that we celebrate every Sunday at Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. The other ordinance, of course, is baptism, which we is recorded in Matthew chapter 28. When the Lord sends out his disciples on the Great Commission, he says, "Go out, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit." And as we were talking about this, I says there's a common theme with these two ordinances, and the theme is the cross. In the Lord's Supper, we focus and remember the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us on the cross on our behalf, what he endured on our at the hands of man. And this is what we focus on at the Lord's Supper. In baptism, we focus on the fact that our sin, is our former sin, was nailed to the cross, was buried, and that we have that resurrection, which means new life in Christ. And so it was, the kids had a chance to read a book that we had passed out to them, and they were pretty much informed, but it was good to be able to review these things with them. One thing that we did discuss is, in our discussion, that baptism in no way is part of salvation. Salvation is separate from baptism. A person cannot be saved through baptism. Salvation comes when a person personally asks the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart, accepts Christ's sacrifice on their behalf, and acknowledges that they are a sinner, and makes that personal decision for Christ. We read in Ephesians that, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So we know that the works of man cannot save you. It's only through personal accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we talked about some examples that we have in Scripture where salvation came first. Of course, many of you know the story in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch when he was traveling and Philip came alongside him as the eunuch was reading the prophet Isaiah, didn't understand what it meant. And Philip explained to him who the prophet was talking about. And of course, he explained to him that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch accepted Christ and he says, and then he was baptized right after that. Of course, the very familiar one is to the Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas were in prison. We know that story very well. And when they were in prison and then they were released because an angel intervened on their behalf, the jailer was afraid of his life. And they pleaded with him, "Do not take your life, because he wanted to take his life because he was afraid that a judgment would come down on him. But he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Of course, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And so he was saved, him and his household, and they were baptized as well. So I asked the candidates, why should we be baptized? And of course, they responded, the Lord asked us to do that. And, we're supposed to follow Christ's example. We read that in the scriptures that we're supposed to follow. And we read that in many references. And of course, what we do see is that the Lord Jesus was set the example. We see that when John the Baptist was preaching, baptizing the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to repent of their sins, he performed baptism with them. And it was a baptism of repentance. And we see where the Lord Jesus Christ himself went to John the Baptist to be baptized. Not that he had sinned, he was sinless, but he wanted to be identified with mankind. And he did that by being baptized to show his identity to mankind. Of course, it was going to be a picture of what was yet to take place, where he would go to the cross. He would die, as we see in baptism. There's a death, there's a burial, and of course, there's a resurrection. So when one is baptized, they make a public declaration of their faith and union in the Lord Jesus Christ. It also is a declaration of unity with the body of Christ. We become identified with the greater body of Christ. You know, it was said, you always heard that term, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And pictures, one person put it this way, pictures communicate in ways words cannot. Pictures can capture a moment, they can capture an event, they can capture drama or a memory. And baptism is that picture. It pictures what took place in the life of a believer at conversion. And being baptized is being identified with Christ, who died for our sins and rose again to life again. As I was thinking these things, I was also thinking of a song that we would sing often, One Day. And in the chorus, it says, living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever. And this is what takes place at baptism. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us on the cross on our behalf. We read in Romans 6, verses 4 to 6, you were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that the just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So as these individuals go into the water, and as they come out of the water, they are proclaiming the new life that they have in Christ. And just as the Father raised Jesus physically, we're raised spiritually as children of God. The image of baptism points to the truth that there is life after death. And that's a great hope for people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's life, eternal life, for those who know him in a personal way, and the promise of being with the Lord forever. And he gives us that promise as we read in the Gospel of John. So I asked these candidates after baptism, so what should your life look like? And we talked about it, and how should our walk be? And the verse that came up in our discussion, I think one of you brought him up, was Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when one is baptized, there should be evidence of that baptism in their daily walk. It doesn't mean that you're going to live a life that's sinless. As I was reading an old book on baptism by August Van Ryan, and some of us older ones might know who that is, but he had a story in here that I always thought was kind of humorous. He says, as a young girl came out of the water after baptism, she asked the quiet old servant of Christ, will I ever sin anymore? In which he responded, my dear, I'd have to keep you under the water 5 minutes longer to make sure of that. Romans 6:6 says for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Yes, sin is always going to be present as long as we're here on this earth in our lives, but we can have victory of it. And if we stumble, well, where do we go? We go back to that central theme. We go back to the cross. We reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that there's forgiveness with him. We reflect on being baptized and remain a commitment. And the Lord Jesus is always willing to accept us when we do wrong. We read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as new believers and recently baptized believers, you know, we have that hope. Yeah, we're going to fail. We're going to stumble. But if we do, we have an advocate that pleads for us, and he's willing to forgive us. But we need to, we want to bring him joy and pleasure in the life we live. I was, as I was thinking of these individuals who are identified with Christ today, they're going to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three of them play a part in our salvation. That's why we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, I was thinking about this as us as being witnesses to this today. What is our responsibility? You know, we put a lot of focus on those who are being baptized, how they should walk. As I was reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, we have that great hall of fame of those men and women of faith. And we talk about it as in Hebrews chapter 12 as being a great cloud of witnesses that are there. You know, their lives are a witness and a testimony to us, and it brings us much encouragement. Yet they had weaknesses, didn't they? They failed in areas, but they continued on. They pressed on in spite of their weakness. And I guess the question is, as us as individuals, as we look at those being baptized, will they look at us as being people that they could put in the Hall of Fame of Faith? Are we faithful to the things that the Lord has asked us to do? And how is our walk? Because we need to be an example. They watch us very closely. And so we have a responsibility as well. We also have a responsibility to keep these individuals to pray for one another. As we know that the day and age that we live in, and things become very dark spiritually. We just encourage each one of you to continue to pray for each one of these that will be baptized today. I just trust that the witnesses today, that each one of us will be blessed, knowing that there is a great hope for a child of God. And we are excited to see these individuals that are taking this time to be baptized, to be obedient to God's will. And it brings us much joy, at least for me, and I know it does for you. And that's why there's such a good number here today to be part of this. So let's just ask the Lord's blessings on this time. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we come before you again with thankful hearts. We just thank you again for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who secured our redemption once and for all at the cross. And we just thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, and that the work that you accomplished on our behalf is finished. We thank you for the hope of eternal security, that to be, as we were reading your word, that when we leave this world, to be absent from this body, to be present with you forever. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for each one of these that are going to be baptized today. We thank you for their desire to walk in newness of life, to commit their lives to you, to be obedient to the commands that you have. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide them, watch them, protect them from the evil one, we pray, Lord. And we just pray that their lives will be used for your honor and glory, that through their lives, others may be one to you as well. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing now. We commit this time into your hands. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have our first candidate. And I believe it's Sebastian Solanke. And Sebastian's going to read his testimony. We've asked each one of them to give a word of testimony. So they will share that. And then our brother Joel will read a scripture verse. And then parents of each one of the children or grandparents are going to baptize their children.
I don't remember much of when I got saved because I was so little, but I asked my mom about it, and she told me that I told her, you must be born again. She asked me what it meant to be born again and asked me if I wanted to be born again. I explained it to her and I said I wanted to be born again and I asked Jesus into my heart. Romans 1:16 helped me a lot and it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It especially helped me when I was thinking of if I should get baptized, because it's a great way to show you aren't ashamed of the gospel, because it is a way to show that you know Jesus as your personal savior. I'm really thankful to get baptized today.
Sebastian's verse that he had chosen is Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Sebastian, I remember the time we were saved and made that confession, and I recall the next day was Sunday, and we had as our guest speaker this missionary from Africa, David Crowder, and that day, Sebastian was evangelizing David Crowder. I'm so glad to be honored as your grandfather baptized you today, and to make another testimony. Sebastian, may I ask you, have you trusted personally in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yeah.
All right. And then, based on your profession of faith and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
The next one will be Victoria Solanke.
My name is Victoria Solanke, and when I was
So the next one is Ariel Lulo.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Ariel. As a child, I grew up in a small house in a big family that loves Jesus. I remember that I went to church every Sunday to come and learn about God. I loved going to Sunday school and singing for the Almighty Lord. My dad used to play his guitar at church for Sunday school. After that, I was going to be going to my first class of Sunday school. The first day, I remember walking inside the small room crying for my mom. But soon I got used to going to Sunday school every week, and I think back to the times where I would love to play with the toys in my class. But I also loved hearing about God's words and doing little activities and showing them to my parents. Back at home, my dad would play Christian songs on his guitar and also some in Albanian. Sometimes he even made up his own song, but I always kept in mind that how I danced and sang with my parents and siblings. My parents read the Bible to me at home and taught me about God. I went to
We're now going to have Avery come and share her testimony.
Hello, my name is Avery McKendrick, and today I get the privilege to share my testimony and get baptized in front of you guys. I'm one of the fortunate people that grew up in a Christian home. Every Sunday, my mom and my dad would take me and my siblings to church. I loved going downstairs and singing with everyone. My walk with the Lord started when I was young, and I was at Kids Club, and Mr. Keller was talking about salvation and the difference between heaven and hell. I pulled my mom aside and I explained to her that I wanted to be saved and go to heaven. She explained more about what this meant, and I followed a prayer asking Jesus into my heart. Both my parents are very involved with church, and I loved watching them serve, and it inspired me to serve as well. As I've grown older, my faith has changed a lot from religion more into relationship when I desire to read my Bible and
the verse that Avery has chosen is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll have Henry Bielski come up and share his testimony.
One morning, me and Cohen were hanging out at church. Then he told me that he got saved. I asked what that meant. He told me that he go to heaven because he accepted him into his heart. I was thinking about that all morning and afternoon. And then finally, I went up to my mom and told her that I wanted to get saved. She was so happy and hugged me and started to tear up. So she called my dad in the living room and they said that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins and that there was only one way to heaven. Then my dad and I prayed this prayer, "Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner and that you died for me and I put my trust in you. Amen." My mom and dad were really happy, and so was I.
And then the verse that Henry chose is Psalm 118, verse 14. "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation."
Thank you.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
We'll now have Zoe Hartle come and share her testimony.
Can everybody hear me? Good? All right. One second. My name is Zoe. I'm sure a lot of you guys know me, but here's my testimony. I can't remember a time when I did not know Jesus as my Savior. I grew up my whole life knowing about who Jesus was and what he has done for me. I don't remember the date or the time or the hour that I was saved, but I know that I am a sinner and that Jesus died and rose again and that I will have eternal life with him. And I wanted to serve and follow him for the rest of my life. And I am so thankful to have family and friends and my church family to walk with me and guide me on the amazing journey. This is a verse that is meaningful to me. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh by faith and faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you.
Zoe chose the verse, Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Behind me, the cross before me, there were behind me, the cross before me, the one behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
We'll now have Caden Giannini come and share his testimony.
I got saved at 4 years old, and I don't actually remember how I got baptized, how I got saved. So I'm just going to recite, like, how I grew as a Christian. So the first verse I learned, besides Genesis 1:1, was John 3:16. And I remember being at church at the event, and I asked my mom, saying, "Mom, how do I be saved?" Since then, I have been saved. Through it was put a test of a couple of times. For example, in fourth grade, I was put with two of my Christian friends. We went over to an unsaved friend and said, saying, "Why aren't you saved? If you aren't saved and Jesus comes back, you better be ready for hell." And he started to cry. When the lunch lady came over, she said that religion isn't allowed in school. And I was mad about what she said. But I realized that I wasn't using the right approach. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. The second lesson I learned was last year. I was confronted with confused people, people that started to think differently, dressed strangely, and didn't depend on the Lord for help. At the time, I didn't think anything of it until some of the people started to talk to me and I realized how much they needed God. I became friends with some of these people. I wanted to be able to tell the gospel to them. The only problem was I was leaning on my own understanding. Proverbs 3:6, in all ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I also wasn't reading my Bible regularly. And so the amount of help I was going to give to them had a limit. Hebrews 6:8, if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn the field and burn it. And since I had no spiritual knowledge, the next friend really pushed me down a flight of stairs. There were many things I've learned, and if I had leaned on God, these situations could have been handled better. Psalms 119, verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And all of these circumstances have made me realize to give thanks to the Lord for all these painful lessons that have brought me closer to the Lord.
Caden's verse that he's chosen is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ.
Father to baptize his own son. And so, Caden, I ask you, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? On the declaration, I baptize you with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We've come to our last, but not least, candidate, Tracy Spiro.
Follow. All you young people have really inspired me today. This is amazing. I felt the Lord in my life for a long time, but I didn't bother to listen to him until he started putting people in my life that got me to listen to him and them. I know he was preserving me from a lot of bad things in my life. My friend Chris encouraged me to come to the Lord and the chapel. My sister Wendy and brother-in-law Mark, other friends, they all kept encouraging me. Then one night I felt the Lord's presence stronger than ever. Wendy and Mark were with me, and I finally came to the point where I wanted Christ in my life and I wanted to serve him as he saw fit. That night, Wendy and Mark read some passages in Romans with me, and I asked Christ to come into my life. And the verse that I liked was Luke 21, 13 to 15, but I didn't write it down. So look it up. I know you all have the book. Luke 21, 13 to 15.
Oh, that's Luke 21, verse 13 through 15. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries should not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Oh my gosh! Well, that concludes our time together. And we just want to ask you to stay around. We have some food here and just some time of fellowship. And I trust that you were blessed by the what took place here today. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was honored and his name was proclaimed. Let me, forgot to pray for the food. Okay. Okay, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for the lives of these individuals who committed their lives to you.